Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, but joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I am all coronationed out, Chris. Big parties for King's coronation over the weekend. And inexplicably, I've managed to damage myself so hard, I'm having what can only be described as a three-day hangover.
Isn't every day a three-day hangover for you, Pete?
Well, at this age, it seems that when I get that merry and have that much fun, the fun just continues for 3 days afterwards, it seems. So I've got a slightly sore throat, I feel a little bit foggy in the brain, and it's just all going very well indeed. I just had no idea my body had the capacity to punish me in this way, but turns out that's what 42 looks like.
How did you celebrate?
Well,
what did you get up to?
We had a big rainy party in the street. Saturday was the day that Charles got coronated. Coroned. He got coroned. And we all had a big party in the street. And that was a very rainy day. Some people chose to have their parties on the Sunday. And it was a very sunny day. And that was the sensible day to do it. But we had a very rainy day. We had a penalty shootout competition. I put a Prince Charles mask and ears on. And saved some penalties from the local kids. We had the crap raffle, where we raffled off pieces of crap from people's houses. And we also did Guess the Crisp Flavour, which was always very popular. That came back from the Jubilee celebrations we had. So, it was pretty good. Neil, our neighbour, buys 10 bags of different kinds of crisps, puts them in a bowl, and you got to guess what brand and what flavour they are. It's quite a good game.
How was the whole monarchy, like, how was it all perceived? Because, I followed it on the news. I'm kind of ambivalent towards the royal family, but I guess everyone just sort of got swept up in the celebrations. But obviously, a lot of the media revolved around people protesting and how they were sort of dragged away before the coronation had even begun. Actually, in Japan, the only real news coverage that I saw were some protests, because Japan obviously has its own monarchy as well, and some people here are against it. And there was some protests in Shinjuku, and then three ultra-nationalist trucks turned up, which are usually run by the Yakuza, and started just screaming out of these speakers really loudly to drown them out and quickly overwhelm them, I think. But, what was the general atmosphere? It seems like a generally positive atmosphere back home, right?
I guess so. I think people in Britain just generally enjoy your party. There were several protests and stuff, and I'm certainly not a monarchist, but I do like drinking, so I enjoy myself. the behaviour of the Met and City of London police was less than exemplary in their kind of weird kind of pre-crime arresting and their social media comments before, during, and after was astonishing as well. It was all a bit of a shit weekend for them, and a shit weekend for anyone who cares about love and liberty. But a great weekend for anyone who loves diamonds that were stolen from halfway around the world in a big crown, in a nice big crown.
Oh God! Well, speaking of Speaking of stolen, the interesting news over here while that's been going on is there was a little bank robbery in Ginza. And, you know, you don't see that many bank robberies play out in Japanese media. You've seen the video, right? So basically, they're all wearing like V for Vendetta face masks, and there's three of them, I think, and they pour into this jewellery store in downtown Ginza, and they're smashing it up with crowbars. They're taking the jewellery and sticking it in a bag. It's kind of like a scene out of the movie Heat or Beverly Hills Cop 2. And there's quite a crowd of masses watching it, witnessing it, but nobody really gets involved, apart from one woman who goes up to the building, up to the jewellery store, and just gently closes the door.
Gently closes the door on the robbers. On the burglars.
No escape. Yeah. What do you make of it?
What were they stealing? They look like they were stealing watches or something. They were stealing some valuables that are very easy to ship.
Yeah, I think it was watches, and then, diamonds, and then they just $1 million worth.
They just got in and got out and got into a responsible family people carrier, and they
they didn't drive it particularly responsibly. They shot off down the road, didn't they? But I think already they've been caught. I saw a video posted a few hours ago of one of the suspects, trying to climb up a ladder on an apartment block building to escape. Right. And then he sort of gets up to the sixth or seventh story on the outside, and he's like, and he just gives up and just comes down. Great robbery.
Great robbery. But, do we know who did it? Do we know who perpetrated it? Do we know why they did it? Why did they do it, Chris? Why did they do it?
Well, I don't know them personally, but I think there were just some guys from Chiba or Saitama. Doesn't really narrow it down, does it? I think they were part of an organised crime group, though.
Right, okay. I mean, it's slightly disorganised the way they went about it. I watched a film
crime.
It was just a load of people getting killed and fighting on a bullet train. It was called Train last night.
God, that film's awful.
It was all right. It wasn't too bad. I expected much worse.
It was pretty bad.
I expected much worse, to be honest. But it was just nice to see Bad Bunny, who's been wrestling over the weekend in Puerto Rico. He sort of brought WWE down there, and as expected, it's a hell of a popular show. It's good. It was fine. It wasn't too bad.
It's got a decent cast. It's got Sandra Bullock as secret lady who only exists on a smartphone. It's got Brad Pitt.
There's a lot of little cameos in that film that where you go, they've just driven down to Hollywood for the afternoon, got their makeup done and just appeared on screen for like a second.
Yeah, and they've got good old Hiroyuki Sanada. He plays the same character in every film I've seen. I watched Bullet Train. I was quite excited to see how they did it. And I have to say, the Bullet Train itself looked kind of cool. Wasn't remotely like an actual Bullet Train.
No.
Like, this looked like it was quite fun. There was like a bar cart and some other cool stuff. The bit that annoyed me was the just endless jokes about Thomas the Tank Engine that I think they thought were really funny.
Right.
And it just carried on. Percy, innit, mate? You're like James. Controller.
The annoying thing is, like, you know for a fact they will have had to have spoken to, I don't know, who had Thomas the Tank Engine? The Reverend J. Auden? He's probably long dead, but whoever wrote and who's ever the beneficiary of the Thomas the Tank Engine dynasty. I can't remember his name, that actor's name. He plays Paperboy in Atlanta. His English accent was all over the place.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. God. Oh, what, mate? What we're going to do? We've got to get the rabbit. It's just ridiculous. But it was quite fun. But they just got worse and worse as it went on. And I don't know. I won't recommend it. And also, it wasn't filmed at all in Japan. It's all just one big back lot in LA. To be fair, though, filming in Japan, not going to be much fun, let alone on a bullet train. Though we did report a few weeks ago that you can rent a bullet train. You can rent a whole carriage on a bullet train now. So maybe we could restage and reshoot a superior sequel with some better dialogue that doesn't involve a fucking reference to Thomas the Tank Engine every fucking sentence. Anyway, we've got a story this week from Alexander. I'm happy. Dear Chris and Pete, hello, Alexander from Australia here.
Hello.
And I'm so excited. Earlier this year, you travelled up to Hokkaido. I was also in Hokkaido at the same time as you, and I went to Abashiri and Kushiro. The day before I planned to arrive in Kushiro, I looked up Kushiro City Museum, and I saw pictures of the museum and saw that it's an unusual shape with a domed roof. The next day, I typed Kushiro City Museum into Google Maps and set off, and I got off at the right bus stop and saw a sign with the name Kushiro City Museum. It's just like starting like a drinking game. Take a shot every time. Yeah, Kushiro City Museum. To the left of the sign, Takushiro City Museum, there was a large building with a domed roof. It seemed a bit different from the pictures I'd seen the previous night, but there was a sign next to it, and it had a domed roof, so it must be the right place. I went inside and noticed there was a big shoe locker at the entrance. Now I know that you often have to take off your shoes when going inside buildings in Japan, but I had never been to a museum which required you to do this. So I started removing the shoes, and when a man asked me if I was a teacher, I said no and continued taking off my shoes. Soon, another man appeared in a suit and announced that he was the principal of the school. Then the penny dropped. I wasn't in the Kushiro City Museum. I'd broken into a random junior high school.
Oh, dear.
And through my broken Japanese, I managed to tell the principal that I was a tourist simply looking for a museum, which he pointed out to me, and I was on my way. Turned out to be 100 metres down the road. My question to you guys is, have you ever gone inside the wrong building in Japan because of a language error or some other misunderstanding? Your friend, Alexander, breaking into schools. Thank God he found out pretty quickly what was going on.
I mean, it doesn't sound like there's like, I mean, there can't be that many wrong ones cutting around if you're able to just waltz into a school unmolested, so to speak. Yes. Wrong word I use, but you know what I mean.
I mean, I don't think I ever have actually wandered into the wrong building per se. Have you ever done that? You've broken into a school?
No, I've sort of broken in. I've got into places, usually bars, that I probably shouldn't be in because they're really expensive. But other than that, no, not really.
That's not theft. That's not breaking in. That's just alcoholism.
Yeah.
We've got a story this week, though, about a real crime.
Yes.
And it's a ridiculous story because you kind of think this thing would be illegal already.
Yeah.
And I don't really get it. But lead us in to this happy story, Pete.
Yeah, this is obviously something that we've spoken about before. We've spoken about people having like unwanted advances on trains and crowded places on at commuter time. But this is the it's just, again, like you said, it's inexplicable that this has taken so long to actually get banned. Lawmakers are introducing Japan's first laws against taking sexually exploitative photos or videos of others without consent. Photo voyeurism, the bill against that, would prohibit acts such as upskirting and secret filming of sexual acts. Until now, such criminal cases had to be prosecuted under local prefecture laws, like state laws, which obviously change from state to state. And this is basically a part of a wider overhaul of Japan's laws on sex crimes, which will also expand the definition of rape, which I imagine, probably knowing the Japanese laws, probably doesn't go as far as they need to be. It criminalises the act of taking photographs of people being manipulated without their knowledge in sexual positions. You can't film children in a sexual manner without justifiable reason. I would very much like to know what that justifiable reason is. But in 2021, Japanese police arrested 5,000 people for clandestine photography, a record number, and about three times the cases in 2010. Obviously, the camera phone, obviously a big change around in that situation. And they and Japan's, as far as I know, is the only country where if you buy a camera, if you buy a mobile phone, they basically have to install audible shutter sounds on their mobile devices.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you buy like a camera from Japan, or you buy a mobile phone, you can't turn the camera shutter sound off or down because of people like this, basically.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Which is incredible. So there's loads of different Asian countries that have got laws against voyeurism, but they're obviously very, very varied. But Japan's finally trying to close a load of loopholes that vary from state to state. It's not something I've ever seen personally, but there is a massive culture online of you know, that sort of vibe from Japanese amateur pornographers, I suppose I would call them, at best absolute dodgy bastards at the worst. And so hopefully this will sort of try and close the loop on that. But where there's a will, where there's a way, so to speak. So, but we just hope that if you get caught, which a lot of people don't, you're allowed to sort of use the laws correctly.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess one reason it's such a big problem is because obviously mass transit, particularly in Tokyo, is so widely adopted. While we love our cars in the West, in Japan, in Tokyo, most people just rely on trains, and they are very crowded. They are very busy. It's a very dense city. And I haven't really seen anything like of this caliber, but I have seen some pretty shady behavior on trains before. And I don't know, I feel people on Japanese trains that, yeah, when it happens to them, they don't know how to act, and it's a really nasty thing. Like, if it happened on a train in London, I think people would scream and shout, and lots of people would get punched, but people are a bit more kind of reserved here, and they'd probably just be more reluctant to outwardly say anything in the moment, which is why these bastards get away with it. But I'll never forget the day I got my phone and I realized that I couldn't turn off the shutter sound. I was like, what the hell is this? And then when I found out that that was the reason why, I was like, oh my God. Like,
you feel like you're part of the problem, don't you? You feel like, because you're like, well, I mean,
I feel sleazy every time I take a photo.
Clearly not enough people can be trusted with it. They're actually having to change the shutter sound. It's incredible.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I wonder at what point they instigated this rule, though. Like, I wonder how far down the line of camera manufacturers and phones did they introduce it. But it feels like that didn't really stop anything, because truth be told, there are ways around that, and people who are like messed up people that are into this, they can easily find ways around it and hack their phones anyway. So, definitely much welcome. Definitely much welcome and much needed, for sure. We've got a story this week. Oh, actually, before that, let's just dive into a little break, and then we'll come back with the fax machine, your stories, comments, and questions.
Dive into the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. I was so eager and excited to read out this first one that I nearly skipped the ad break. But here we go. What we got, Pete?
We don't need
income.
We don't need advertorial cash. We just need to go right into the fax machine. Hi, Crispy Chris and Peppery Pete. This is from Marius. I'm planning my first visit to Japan with a mate of mine, and we're currently thinking about heading to Fukuoka and then renting a car there to explore Kyushu by car for a couple of days. Do you think it's worth it doing that? And do you have any tips for spots in Kyushu, especially ones that only really become accessible once you have a car? Cheers, Marius. What's like in the middle of Kyushu, Chris? Because I've only ever been to the coast, and obviously they're quite well served for quite well served when you're on a train, but like in the middle of the country, there's got to be some fun stuff in there, surely.
Well, I mean, Kyushu's one big mountain range, and right slap bang in the middle
mountains.
Is ASO, too much volcano. Genuinely, if you look at a map, the ASO caldera is slap bang in the middle, and that would get my vote. And to get to it and to really appreciate it, you do need a car to get up it, right?
Yeah, okay.
To drive up it or to get a decent view. So, yeah, Mount ASO would be the real prize. Or we did it on the cycle. We cycled from Nagasaki to Kumamoto across these stunning islands, and there's just so many volcanoes. Like, I think Kyushu must be the most volcanically active part of Japan. No, I think it is, because you've got, you know, Mount ASO, which was smouldering away when we were there. You've got Sakurajima volcano overlooking the bay at Kagoshima. So, yeah, Kyushu, one of the best places to get around by car. There are bullet trains. They just recently opened a bullet train to Nagasaki, so you can get there in record time, nice and quick. Or you can get from Fukuoka to Kagoshima by bullet train as well. But for seeing it the best way, for sure, take a car. You won't regret it. And Mount ASO is top of my list, as well as Kurukawa Onsen as well. Also in the song, Too Much Volcano, which is coming up to its second year anniversary. That's depressing.
You should do a re-release.
We've got a sequel.
With a remix.
Re-release. We had, I think we had someone approach us about doing an LP and getting it on like a vinyl, which would have been amazing. But it kind of happened towards the tail end of the success of the song, and I wondered if anyone would buy it. In hindsight, they probably would have, and I kind of regret it now. So maybe I should reconsider. Especially as I recently got a record player myself, and I've been collecting records. It's my new favourite thing.
Oh.
Yeah. I spent an inordinate long amounts of time at Tower Records in Shibuya yesterday buying up records at reasonably big prices. And God, I just love records. I love the way the artwork takes front and centre in a way that, you know, we don't have anymore, because you just play it out your bloody iPhone or whatever. You can't really appreciate the music. And also, I find I pick and choose songs that I like naturally these days. And so by having the actual album on record, you get to appreciate it the way the artist intended, which is what we would do with Too Much Volcano. Try and get some of those remixes, because some of the remixes were better than the real song.
Yeah.
You could bundle those all on as well.
I mean, I would say that surely people who sort of like collect vinyl in Japan, we'd spoken about like the second market in Japan and how they look after everything they own. I'm very much interested to see like what the secondhand sort of market of vinyl is in Japan. Is that, even in like kind of like hard offs and stuff, I don't see a lot of records. Is that fair to say? I can't remember.
They do have record collections in hard off, but they're not very good. They're not very extensive. They're quite small. Yeah. But generally, you know, they're very good condition. People take very good care of their things here, and you can pick up a record in excellent condition that's been around 30, 40 years quite easily. So, at a price, mind you. But quite the price.
Yeah.
We got a story this week from Arnold from Netherlands. It says, "Dear Chris and Pete, it's Golden Week, and I stayed at an upper hotel for 3 nights. I've come to the conclusion that 1 night is the absolute maximum I can do. Upper is the easy jet among hotels." I think it's more like the Ryanair of hotels, to be honest, Arnold. Agree or disagree? Could you do a top five on chain hotels in value?
Ooh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? That'd be a bit of fun.
Can you think of any? I've got... There's Upper. Upper hotels. Hotel My Stays. Super Hotel. I always thought Super Hotel sounded like an awful name. Then I stayed at one, and they got a little sofa that turns to a bed. Next to your bed.
Super,
and I was like,
super.
Wow, that is super.
I've only stayed in an Upper, genuinely, to be honest. And there's one in Shibuya that's got, like, up the hill. There's past the Love Hotel District that's, like, got, like, this weird room where there's, like, an outside sort of weird balcony. Sort of like an outside dojo bird box slash human bird box. It's very strange. But it's worth a visit if you're in the area. It's nice and cheap. I mean, if you request the top room, you do get a weird added bird box you can stand in.
What the hell? God, no. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Upper Hotel, I think actually, the last time I stayed in one was in Kagoshima when we did the cycle. And we were all quietly dreading it, because Upper Hotels, the rooms are formidably small. There's a little racist book in there written by the people that own the hotel, who have some rather interesting ideas about history.
Yeah. Yeah,
very nationalist. It's quite an interesting read about how Pearl Harbor didn't happen. I think I read on the first chapter or something. But You get that. You get a pillow that is so thin you have to sort of fold it over five or six times. But like, it's very small. It's very cheap. It does the job. But you do, because the walls are really thin, the rooms are really small, you can hear people like next door. And it's kind of like, oh, can you actually sleep well in there? Especially if Pete Dolson's your neighbour and he comes back stumbling drunk, smashing up his room like he did in Osaka. Yeah, that was his bird box. I remember that when Pete opened the door to his upper hotel room in Osaka, I've never seen such filth and such rubbish.
I'd unboxed a camera. It was just a lot of bits.
It wasn't
in a camera box. It was just a lot of stuff, all right? I just had a lot of stuff.
He was there like one night and he came in with a suitcase. He must have just opened it and just tipped it upside down. It was a shit show.
I'll do it again.
But it is cheap. Other hotels, Hotel My Stays, they're a little bit more expensive, but the rooms are way nicer. Super Hotel, Root Inn, which are slightly bigger rooms than Upper, not very good beds, but they do have a spa area, which I think you stayed in one, didn't you, in Sapporo, and you were like, my room's got a spa, and you were very excited about that.
Yeah, lovely.
Until you found the used mask that had been left under your bed and not cleaned. That took some of the magic away. And the last one is the Candeo hotel chain, which are a little bit pricier, but they've got really nice baths on the roof of the hotel. And I did do a video with Natsuki where we stayed in one called Day of My Life, Tokyo Edition. And Natsuki and I ate loads of gyoza, were physically sick, and then relaxed in the hot spring. So check those ones out. One last one from Fadel from Indonesia. He says, hello there, Spartan Christ. I like that. Spartan Christ and conniving Pete. I feel like I got the long straw there. I'm Fadel from Indonesia. I was wondering, is riding a moped or scooter as common in Japan as it is in Southeast Asia? And if so, is it possible for tourists to rent one? Keep up the good work. Take care of yourselves, Fadel from Indonesia. I've never rented a moped or a scooter, but I was talking to my friend Ian the other day, the coordinator of Journey Across Japan and the secret to my success. And there's a new service called something, it's called something like Cooler or something, and you can just like rent a like an e-bike and mopeds, or not mopeds, like a scooter, at different stations, and you get on it, you can drive it to the next station, then leave it there and ditch it. For the love of God, I can't get my app working, so I'd love to do it, but he swears by it, and it's his new favourite thing.
Yeah,
it's way cheaper than getting a taxi, right? A 3,000 yen taxi ride, you can now just do for 300 yen on a rented scooter. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd go for that. But I do need to check out the name of the app, so let me get back to you on that. But, yeah. You've never rented an automobile in your time in Japan, have you, Pete?
No, I've not. I bought a new car last week, so I'm sort of getting used to sort of driving a slightly bigger, well, I say slightly bigger, much bigger car. But I think I'm equal to any goddamn rental car, wherever you may want to give it to me, so to speak. I've also got a scooter as well. I've also got a moped. It'd be quite fun to sort of scoot around on a little moped, because the roads are generally quite safe. I mean, I wouldn't trust myself in. In like Korea was quite dicey, I seem to recall, with the old scooters.
Taxi drivers there, but terrifying.
Yeah, quite wild, but yeah. Yeah, I'd fancy it.
What car did you upgrade to?
Oh, I'm not telling you, because it is embarrassing and you will take the piss.
Tell me. Well, what is it?
I went to the dealership with a Fiat 500 automatic. And he said, right, this is how much I'm giving you. And I was like, right, okay. I mean, that's not much money, is it? I see why you're a dealer. I went, right. She went, this is the cars we got. I went, all right. Well, if I put like a couple of grand down, I can have that Jaguar. So I got a fucking Jaguar.
What,
Chris?
I
got a 10-year-old. I got a 10-year-old Jaguar, which is not ULEZ compliant, Chris. So it does cost me money to drive into town, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Holy shit. That's quite the upgrade. Yeah. You've gone from like a toy
insane.
Car to a proper car.
I have no idea why. I mean, I'll probably find out why it was so cheap. But I was like, look, I bought my first car was a Fiat 500. Let's have a bit of fun with the stupid car for a bit. But it was a little bit more than my Fiat. And I was like, how come? Because that's a lot more car.
I guess it's because the insurance is more, right? And also the fuel
But why would it be, but the dealer doesn't care about that. He just cares about, you know, selling a car. So why is it, I just don't understand second-hand cars at all.
I wonder. Maybe Jaguar's gone out of fashion, or maybe it's quite expensive to repair. I don't know. I'm kind of jealous, you bastard.
What?
Wasn't supposed to be this way. I mean, to be fair, I've got a Honda Fit, so you could have bought a fucking clown car and you would have one-upped me. But I don't really just... If I used it as much as you did, I'd probably get a good car. But given I drive like once every 10 days
I can't park
it. It's not really worth it.
I can't park it anywhere. It's absolutely unparkable. Not in this street. Good God. But yeah,
How big is it?
Which one is it? Absolutely massive. Just massive, Chris. Massive it is.
I just drive around
quite a lot. I'm going up to Liverpool next week for it's Eurovision in Liverpool next week, so I'm going up to watch a wrestling show. Would you believe?
Very weird. Naturally. And you're going to be driving in style. Well done.
Exactly.
I suppose congratulations are in order. You've levelled up. You're in the big boys' league now. Cheers, with the cars. Keep the story. I'm disappointed you didn't get the Toyota pickup truck.
I know, there's always next time.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye for now.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.